Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John.
Although Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples.
He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the ground, parts of ground, that Jacob gave to his son Joseph.
Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with the journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour.
There cometh a woman of Samaria, draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink.
For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food.
Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it, thou being a Jew, askest a drink of me, the woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said to thee, give me to drink, thou hast asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
The woman said unto him, sir, there is nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou thy living water?
Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his sons, and his cattle?
Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again.
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life.
The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither.
The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus answered to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father.
Ye worship that which ye know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews.
For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things.
Jesus said unto her, I speak unto thee, am he.
And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?
The woman then left the water pot, and went away into the city, and said to the people,
come see a man which told me all things ever did, in the Christ. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Therefore, the disciples, one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat?
Jesus said unto them, my need is to do the will of him that sent me, and to which is his word.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that when he soweth, and he that reapeth, may rejoice together.
And where is that saying true? One soweth, and another reapeth.
I said to thee, that whereon you sow no labor, other men labor, and many are able.
And many of the Samaritans of their city believed on him for the saying of the woman. He testified, "He told me all that ever I did."
So when the Samaritans came unto him, they besought him to tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days.
And many more believed because of his own word.
And said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves, and
may our living God bless this portion from his word to all of us. Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, God of grace, mercy, and peace, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our highly exalted Savior, with hearts full of worship and praise, we come at thy feet for opening our blind eyes, for delivering us from the powers of darkness, for translating us into the kingdom of thy dear Son, the Son of thy love, for accepting us in the Beloved to show forth thy manifold wisdom unto powers and prosperity in heavenly places. We magnify thee for calling us to high heavenly calling, to build thy everlasting habitation, to contain thy fullness for eternity. We thank thee for the hope of glory given to us to see our dear Lord face to face and seeing him become like him. We thank thee for the gift of Christian fellowship by which we are inspired and strengthened day by day and understand more clearly thy eternal plan in saving us. We magnify thee for a day like this when we can wait upon thee to worship thee in spirit and truth. And remember our Lord death till he comes by searching our hearts and hear thy voice to understand the secret of a transferred life and become like these wells bubbling over. Now we ask of thee, thou may cover the precious blood, make our time edifying. We give thee our thanks for all who are here. We claim thy promises for everyone account their need. We do ask of thee, thou may bless thy servants as upon the country, according to respective need. Bless our dear brother T. Koshim when he goes to America tomorrow. Use him there as an anointed sanctified vessel and give him thy journey mercies and keep thy eye upon him. We thank thee for using him in this country. Now protect him and shelter him and make him watchful, faithful, careful, prayerful, and keep him very close to thee. We thank thee also helping us, Mr. Dharam from Bombay of GLS, to be here in this country for a short time. We thank thee thou hast done through her and the co-workers of the Bill Thompson in Bombay and many parts of India. We ask of thee how they also be fully blessed of thee according to our need. And with our prayer harm, and our Jean has returned to India after 2 or 3 weeks. Now we thank thee once again for the bond that binds us. We praise thee for the time that we had together. Make our time fully edifying, glorifying, and keep us very close to thee. Keep us the precious blood. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. St. John Gospel in chapter 4. And verse 6, the Gospel according to St. John chapter 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well. We find how the Lord Jesus Christ taught many deep truths about salvation in a very simple way. And when he came that morning, after noon, at that well, he had a message to convey, not only to the woman who came afterwards at the well, but to all those who really want the secret of a transformed life. And the wonder here is, the great secret of a transformed life, abundant life, fruitful life, is not being first spoken to men of learning or knowledge, as we ought to do. Generally, when we see people who are very highly educated, we speak in different terms. Those who are very simple, then we speak in a simple way. But here we find entirely the opposite case. When our Lord was talking to Nicodemus, a man highly learned, he spoke in a simple way. He must be born again. Now Nicodemus was a very highly cultured man, educated man. He knew all the scriptures. Leading man, one of the 70 members of the Jewish Sanhedrin. And to him he spoke like a child. But this woman, whom you think perhaps living in sin and doesn't know much about even God, yet to her he reveals a great secret, how to worship God. And how to become a well, bubbling over with an abundant life. All these truths are revealed over here. And you find that's what happened to us. If you're willing to obey like the woman, because you can see her faith, she has simply marvelous faith, the way she straightway accepts the truth. Now I want to see, first of all, what God has been teaching to the well all the time, in many centuries. We find that when Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to find a bride for his son Isaac, in Genesis 24, his servant came at the well, and there he found the bride. Same with Jacob, in chapter 29, Genesis, he also found the bride at the well. There's some peculiar charm at the well. You want to find a bride, go at the well somewhere. But nowhere to go, though. Don't go to the wrong well. Go to proper well, and then you find us a good bride, as the men of God found. Now we can see what God had in mind from the early centuries about the well. Now this well has got not only one name, but many names. Here it's called Jacob's well. But going by the whole history, we can see the same well became Joseph's well. And later on, the same well became Joshua's well. And the same well later on becomes the well of Lord Jesus Christ. And from the same truth coming in a fresh way, how our lives can become triumphant, victorious, abundantly fruitful, and fresh. Please see how it begins. Book of Genesis and chapter 33. Book of Genesis and chapter 33 from the verse 16. Genesis 33rd chapter. And from the verse 16. So Esau returned that day on the way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth or Sychar. And Jacob came to Shelem, a city of Shechem, land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram, and pitched his tent for the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of silk money, and erected an altar and called it El Hoi Israel. That's how Jacob came there. After he had come and settled there, at that time he dug that well, which was called by the name Jacob's well. Even today it's called the same name. When you go to Palestine, you find the same well there, Jacob's well. But we find, why did he dig the well? In the beginning of the chapter, we find Jacob full of fear. Father, in chapter 32, he's full of fear. And God met him in chapter 32 and changed him. And he became a new person. And you see 32, book of Genesis, and verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, which God and men has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Now, having been blessed by God, we can see here he was changed by completely. Now, chapter 33. and verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and to Rachel, and unto the 200 handmaids. And he put the handmaids and the children foremost, Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindmost. Here you have full of fear. Even though God had met him in chapter 32, and God has spoken to him also, thou wilt prevail over men. But some other, the fear is not gone yet. How to meet Esau? How to meet Esau? Even though God does meet with us on many occasions, and we are blessed by him also, but unless we prove him afterwards by experience, we don't get the same faith. And that's why after hearing God's message of some kind, we have to go through some very hard experience of life. Some sorrow, some failure, some disappointment, some affliction, to prove God. The one who has spoken to me meant what he said. I must believe what God has said. No need to again go on doubting. Like Jacob. How to meet Esau? How to meet Esau? Now as Esau came near, he was surprised. He hugged him and kissed him, embraced him. He could see, yes, God meant what he said. That is further. And from verse 8, and he said, what meanest thou with all this dough which I made? And he said, they are to find grace in the sight. He said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. God had already gone before, and he had changed the heart of Esau towards Jacob. And that's why when he came to this place in Sychar, he dug a well, a testimony. God meant what he said. See, the meaning, he called the name El, Elohi Israel. That means God whom Israel had proven by experience. That's why they come double L. El means God. El, God, their God, who had been proven by experience. And that well testified, yes, God means what he said. He is a covenant-keeping God. Now, many of us have received from God's word many promises and were blessed and very much thankful on that day. But after a few weeks, again, doubts came in. Perhaps God did not mean what he said. And we again start our own methods. So you want to become like that well, abundant life. First thing is believe what God says to you. Don't doubt, question him. Don't doubt him. And God permits in our lives these situations that we might prove him. Our fears be driven away completely. Now the very same well again, there came a temptation. Chapter 34, book of Genesis, and chapter 34, from verse 8. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make the marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. Ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get ye possession therein. What a great temptation. They have been blessed by God wonderfully. In a very subtle way, there comes temptation to have mixed marriages. But thank God, at that time, God saved Jacob from that tragedy. His son came to rescue and saved him from mixed marriage. Many believers have lost their joy and their first love by a wrong choice in a marriage. They are attracted. They are not governed by God's will. And because of some worldly motive or worldly attraction, they make a mistake. You want to be a real well of full of water, then be sure, be clear. Don't be deceived by the world. Whatever may be the worldly attraction by friends, by children, by wives, other people, be careful. Be watchful. We have to be wholly and solely for the Lord and governed only by him. Then the water remains fresh and clean and pure and bubbling over. Now further, please. Chapter 35, book of Genesis. All this is happening at Shechem, the same place. Genesis chapter 35. And from the verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household, all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise, and go up to Bethel. I'll make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, was with me in the way where I. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, which were in their land, in their hand, and all their earrings, which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem, and they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Now God had still given a blessing for Jacob. No doubt God blessed him. He met him in chapter 32 and gave a new name. In chapter 33, again he blessed him, and he gave a victory over the enemy. Esau became his friend. Again in chapter 34, God saved him from a very big tragedy. And yet we find there was still something more for him, which he never knew. Because of some strange gods in the family, unknown to him, his wives were hiding those strange gods. And that became a hindrance in receiving a blessing for Jacob. So God speaks to him, Jacob, I have still something more to give you. My heart is just bubbling over to give you much more. This is just like God, isn't it? Count Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Able to do exceeding abundantly, much more than ask and think. Now Jacob never knew it. Then he discovers, now surely there must be something wrong in my family. And he tells, now please, what is wrong? Search your boxes and your cases and whatever may be. Put away the strange gods. And they are put away, and you find they were buried under oak trees not very far from Jacob's well. Right beside Jacob's well, you find a tree also, where these gods were buried. And God speaks again, as he says over here, and they journeyed, and the hell of God was upon the cities that were round about them, not pursuit of the sons of Jacob. I believe there is some hidden strange god in many hearts, responsible for their lack of growth spiritually. They grow for some period. For 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they go on nicely. But suddenly they come setback. Outwardly, you can't find any fault with them because they come to all the meetings. They sing nicely. They give their tithes regularly. They take part in open air, full of zeal for the Lord. But spiritually, something wrong there. They allow their first love. They haven't got the same power in their life also. There is some strange God come in, some friendship, some affection has come in inside the heart. And like a strange God, it hindered them from praying more freely. It hindered them from talking with liberty with other people. They haven't got the same burden of prayer. Many people in the beginning, they can pray for hours together. But now, something happens. They can't pray long enough. Not because they're busy. Even if they've got time, they can't pray long enough. They can't stay upon the knees long enough. Thoughts begin to wander because of hidden strange God. Please, you want Lord to give you much more which he has for you, ask God to help you. Put away the strange gods. It may be affection, it may be attraction, it may be any hobby in your life, any association of any kind. It must be put away. But can I please God, it must be put away. Even though it may cost you, every strange god must come by the well, under oak tree, buried completely. Then you see the result was, terror of God came upon them. They journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. Our life becomes so triumphant. All around us, they know God is with them. God is with them. God is with them. God is with them. Go wherever you go. This is too well, bubbling over. Life flowing like a river in all directions, on all sides, and men trembling because of you. And you see in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Samuel chapter 14 verse 15. And they were trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison, and his palace, they also trembled at the earthquake, so it was a very great trembling. That should be your life also. What an experience. For this such experience, Jacob had to put away all the strange gods. Wherever he went, they came trembling. Men trembled also. Now further, please. Now, we read chapter 48, Genesis. Book of Genesis and chapter 48. Genesis 48, from the verse 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim, as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Israel said, Joseph, behold, I die. But God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. The very same spot where Jacob had dug that well in Sychar or Shechem now becomes a portion of Joseph. He is being given the firstborn son's portion. Going by the Jewish custom, Book of Deuteronomy and chapter 21. Book of Deuteronomy and chapter 21. And verse 17. Deuteronomy 21:17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Now Joseph was not the firstborn, but God gave him a portion of the firstborn son, a double portion. See now 1 Chronicles and chapter 5. First book of Chronicles, chapter 5 and verse 2. First book of Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 2. For Judah prevailed above his brethren. Of him came the chief ruler. But the birthright was Joseph's. Birthright in double portion. Now we see Colossians and chapter 1. The epistle of Paul to Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things he might have the preeminence. You want a portion of the firstborn, that means an overcomer. Lord Jesus Christ overcame. You want to be a true overcomer, then that's because Joseph became an overcomer, and that's why now Jacob gives him his portion. That well, we speak of his victory, was given to Joseph by Jacob. Now see the secret of his victory also. Genesis chapter 50. Book of Genesis, chapter 50. Book of Genesis and chapter 50. From the verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he said to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being over 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now Exodus, chapter 13. The book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 13, and verse 19 and 20. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God visit you, shall carry up my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth. Now, Joshua 24. The book of Joshua and chapter 24. Book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. It became the inheritance are children of Joseph. Same spot. God first gave to Jacob in chapter 33. Now you find the same spot Jacob gave to his son Joseph before he died. Now his bones are being brought after 4 centuries from Egypt, and they are buried in the same spot. So the same well became Joseph's well. Now here thought is that Joseph became an overcomer by refusing to be identified with Egyptians. Now, why did he say to his brethren, carry my bone with you? Not for worship. It's sin to worship bones. Mohammedan worship bones, but not the Jews. He was saying, even though he became the greatest man in whole Egypt, but he refused to be identified with them. He was not Egyptian. He stayed there at God's command, as God's servant, as God's witness. All the glory of Egypt did not spoil him. Many young men go to America to be spoiled. Just after a few months, you see, they see what a wonderful country. For some time, they are right. But in very few months' time, they get spoiled. They want to be America, don't want to come back to England anymore. But Joseph refused to be spoiled. He said, brethren, take my bone with you, take my bone with you. I'm not Egyptian. Even though they make me a king, I won't stay be an Egyptian. In spite of the persecution which he received from brethren, he is saying, no, I am one of you. I am one with you. I am your brother. Yes, you hated me and you sold me as a slave, but I am one of you. God allowed it for your sake. I may nourish you, and so on. That's too overcoming. And you want to become like a well, please don't be deceived by the Egyptian glories. How many believers have lost the same way? When they become prosperous, first love is gone. They're easily carried away by prosperity and by wealth and by other worldly things. Can only be a well by not being identified with anything of Egypt. Now please see further, also book of Joshua and chapter 24. Book of Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribe of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and for the judges and for their offices, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua is giving his testimony in the same place now. Before he died, he is gathering all the elders of all the 12 tribes. Come to me and let me testify what God means to me. And that's why he says over here, in verse 14, 15, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the side of the flood in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, by the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He is saying these words after many years' experience at the same well. Now it became Joshua's well. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come what may. What a testimony. There will be a trial also. And if you want to be like that, want to be such a well, the same experience. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He must be given first place. As for me and my house. That is the secret of becoming a well bubbling over with fresh water, abundant life. When we give the Lord his portion as a family, give him everything that belongs to him. Now please come to the St. John Gospel and chapter 4. Now you know why our Lord chose the same well. The Jacob's well are full of many, many messages God has conveyed to the nation. Book of Genesis, St. John Gospel, chapter 4. Now we find all these truths being worked out in practical way at the same well by Lord Jesus Christ. St. John Gospel and chapter 4. First of all, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is the first great secret of becoming such a well, learning how to worship God. Many people believe on Lord Jesus as a Savior. They can't worship him. They can pray. They can ask for things. They can ask for a job. They can ask for money. They can ask for healing. They ask for so many things, so many favors. But when time comes to worship, they don't know how to worship. I've seen many pastors, many missionaries, they can't worship. When we say, please worship, they start praying. And even though we say again and again, this is not a time for prayer. It's not a time for supplication. No request, please. Yet they start again, same thing. Worship means worship. What does my Lord mean to me? Worship. That means he is to me extremely precious. I tell you a story. There was a merchant in Amritsar selling these carpets, beautiful Persian carpets. And one man came in the shop and he saw his carpets. Then he saw on the wall one small carpet. And asked him, now tell me, what is the price of that carpet? He said, sir, it's not for sale. The man said, I'll give you 1,000 rupees, sir, not for sale. The man said, well, I am prepared to give you 10,000 rupees, sir, not for sale. And he said, all right, I'll give you 1,100,000, sir, not for sale. And he said, I'll give you any money, ask 1 crore even. He said, you will give me in the whole room full of wealth, I won't sell it. To me, it's very precious. He said, why? He said, before my father died, he gave it to me. He got from his father. And he told him, clearly, don't, never sell it. He said, to me, this carpet is much more than worldly wealth. To me, it's very precious. Same thought there. Worship. Question is, what does my Lord mean to me? That's worship. He may keep me in poverty. He may keep me in sickness. He may keep me in a lonely place. He may keep me in distress for years, like he did with David. Yet then, can I worship him? That's worship. In spite of our suffering and trial, you worship God. Yes, Lord, I love thee for thy sake. I know thy love is unchanging. I can change. Thy love can never change. And whatever thou doest for me is for my good. And we praise him with all of our hearts for love and grace and faithfulness. Worship. And that truth was being taught to the woman. Woman, you want to know me? Learn to worship me. Then you see automatically that well coming out from within you. You find new life flowing out in all directions. Worship him in spirit and truth. Then says, your father seeketh such to worship him. There are very few people who know how to worship God. They ask for favors, but they don't know how to worship. Now further, please. And from the verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men. Why did she leave the water pot there? Not because she forgot about it. You might think because she was so excited, in excitement she left it behind. It's not that. It's her purpose. The water pot was a sign of a sinful life. Our Lord told her, the man thou art living with is not your husband. And the well was outside the city. And she came to draw water at midday. You see, chapter 4, please, again, John Gospel, and verse 8. Now Jacob's well was there, and being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the 6th hour, midday. Now when you go to the east, you find, generally they go and draw water either in the morning or the evening. They won't go to midday, draw water. This woman was ashamed to go in the morning or evening in the crowds. She came purposely at midday, then nobody could see her. The water pot is a part of sin for her. She was carrying water for that man, living with his sin. Water to for his bath and for to wash his clothes and wash his hair. Now, no more sinful life, straight away left behind. That's why you don't want to part there. Now she forgot about it. Now, Lord, yes, I confess, I have been living in sin with that man. From today no more, I'm going to serve him. Then what about the symbol, a confession? I am going to leave my sinful life. What obedience? Rather than try to defend ourselves and say, let me go and consult him and ask his opinion. No. She says, he is the Lord. He must be obeyed. We want to have such a well in our hearts, we must obey God. Are you carrying any water pot? Some people say they want to grow, but they can't go spiritually. They won't leave behind the water pot. They still carry with them. They are still some sign of the old water pot. They carry about the whole time. Please leave behind water pots. All these old things of sin must be forsaken. Maybe some books or letters or some photos of sin must be burnt and destroyed completely. Don't hide them somewhere in some box, almirah. They must be burnt. And that's why our Lord told her this truth also. He knew her heart, how quickly she will respond, how quickly she will obey. You know, they humble her very much, but she obeyed quickly. And by that you find, the more we obey quickly, the more life we have, the more power we have, the more joy we have, the more peace we have. Then further, please. And verse 12. No, sorry, not 12. St. John chapter 4. And from the verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did in order of the Christ. Come, see a man. She became his witness. Come, see a man. She began to justify straight away. Come, see a man who told me all my past, all my sin, all my sinful deeds. Come, see a man. It's a testimony. Never fail to testify to his saving power. You want to grow spiritually and remain, become like a well bubbling over, please testify to his saving and keeping power. Come, see a man. How he changed me. How he filled my sin and helped me leave behind me my water pot. I'm no longer living in that man anymore. I'm a new person. I'm going to follow the Lord. Now further, please. And verse 34. He has said unto them, my meat is the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. As a secret, to become such a well, to do God's will. When they left him, he was tired, like others also. He was hungry and thirsty and tired. He asked for water, woman. And his disciples had gone down to buy food. But when they came back, he saw it so fresh. And they wondered, who gave him to food? And he's saying, my meat, this is my meat, that's my strength. Now you find, it's by doing God's will in every matter, every day, we become that such a well. We can overcome our hunger and thirst by doing God's will. Overcome our tiredness and weariness by doing God's will. Overcome many problems, many obstacles by doing God's will. Then we remain so fruitful. Now further, please, verse 35. Say now, see, they are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white, are ready to harvest. Look up. Don't go by your own wisdom. Look up and then see. He said, don't wait now, there are still 4 months for the harvest. The Lord said, see where are the ripened fields and then go. I give you an example. Many years ago, God spoke to me. Go to a village called Banno. I have never gone there in my life before. But once I am clear, you must go there. I called my friend. I said, God is speaking to me to go to a place called Banno. But he said, it's very far away. It's about 120 miles away. That meant we had to go by train, then we had to go by boat, then walk. Unknown place. Anyway, he agreed. And two of us started with books, some gospels and some Bibles. And after traveling whole day, partly by train, partly by walking, partly by boat, we came to the village in the evening, just before sunset. I was standing there in one corner, carrying books, and a man came. And he said, look here. This is my village. I am village headman, and I am Muslim. I am Mohammedan. I won't allow any Christian to preach in my village. I said, maybe you are a Mohammedan, maybe it's your village. But I'm not sent by any man. I'm sent by God. He spoke to me clearly. I never even knew the name Banno in my life.
He said, how did God speak to you? So I gave my testimony. How Lord Jesus Christ has changed my life. How he became my savior. Go on. Then he said, now tell me, where are you staying? I said, right here I'm staying. This is my place. Then he said, all right, will you come and stay with me in my house? I said, very kind of you, I'll come. Then he said, now, supposing I invite the people, will you give a message also? I said, yes, this is my privilege. A Mohammedan man, he sent his servant and got the big crowd together, come and hear God's message. And also, he himself became my interpreter. I spoke. So after he finished the message, many people bought the books and went away. They were so thankful. After we had our food, at midnight, a man comes to me and said to me, do you know God sent you for my sake? He said, I'm a Muslim. I have been given a gospel of St. Luke by somebody 4 years ago. I've been waiting for someone to come and tell me something more. I never knew where to go. And God has spoken to me to bring, carry with me in Urdu Bible. What a joy. Look up, Lord says. Look up and then see where ripen fields. They are ready harvest in Richmond also. In many parts of London, but you've got to find out. But you find out which street you have to go, which corner, at what time you got to go and then find out, then share your joy with them. Look up, he says, Lord says, look up. Don't go by your human judgment. Sometimes you're deceived by their appearances. One day I saw a man with a long curly mustache, double curl, going down again upwards. So Lord said to me, you go and talk to him. I said, Lord, I can see from the mustache, he's not interested. Very, very chilling. Again, you go talk to him. I said, Lord, I know such a man. How can such a man with a mustache ever think about God? So I went near him and showed him this book. He said, what is this? I said, this is the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but gospel? I want full Bible. He's hungry. He said, I'm waiting for Bible. I went to the next day, long talk with him, pray with him. Don't go by appearances or by faces or outward conditions. There's a harvest ready. I fully believe there's a harvest ready in every country. I've experienced it in the past few months here and there as I traveled. But you must go by prayer. Lord, take me in thy own time, in thy own way, to persons or streets or homes with ready hearts, and they want the gospel. Then further, please, verse 36, he that reapeth the seed of the wages and gathereth the fruit unto life eternal, both he that soweth, he that reapeth, may rejoice together. This is the secret. Learn sometime to sow and sometime to reap. There's time to sow, another time to reap. We must labor together in God's vineyard, both ways. Go on sowing, and same way go on reaping. Then we become like a well bubbling over fresh water. Verse 38, I sent you to reap wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. That's quite true. Many have prayed, many have labored, many have gone, but we get the benefit. We find we go there ready to receive the God through us. And thus our Lord is showing practical way how we can become such a well. Now find verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of their city believed on him, for the saying of the woman testified, he told me all that I ever did. The testimony. Because of one simple testimony, whole Samaria came and lost it. He told me all I ever did. It's a bold testimony, a simple testimony, a joyful testimony which brings results in our life. Then verse 41. And many more believe because of his own word. Then Acts chapter 8 and verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. The same well bubbling over. The water began to come in chapter 4, John Gospel. Now it's flowing over all directions. The great joy in the city, full of water. And this is a simple way. We all can become such a well. Shall we pray? Our loving Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, our loving Savior, we thank thee for thy desire to make our lives like Jacob's well, full of water and plenty of water for ourselves and of our neighbors, all those who come near. We ask of them to make us all deep well with plenty of water, which can remain fresh and bubbling over. That even though that well was dug so many centuries ago, it remained fresh and remained full of water. We ask of thee, forgive us for the past failure. And we humbly pray thee that we take away every fear, every doubt, give us strong living faith to believe in thy word and thy promises. We humbly ask of thee also that we save us from being deceived by the worldly associations and by the worldly friendships and by the marriages not in a perfect will. Any hidden God, any strange God of life may be put away and buried. And thus we ask of thee, thou may make us two overcomers, who refuse to be identified with the worldly glories and worldly honors and worldly ways and worldly matters, even though they be so attractive. When we ask of thee, loving Father, thou may make us faithful and true like Joshua, who could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now we ask of thee, thou may teach us how to leave behind our water pots. Many of us have carried the water pots too long, and we are ashamed even to throw them away. Sometimes we hide them. Now we request the water pots be thrown away, but speaks of sin and evil be thrown away and entirely destroyed for thy glory. So we request thee, give us eye to see the ripe harvest, and show us how to do thy perfect will to overcome every tiredness, heaviness, and every obstacle in life. So we request thee now, make all of us like this, in the whole Richmond, many parts of England, and the country round about, thy word will go forth to us unworthy vessels, by testimony, by prayer, and by fellowship, and by obeying thy word and thy command. Pray us for the afternoon and the evening, make it a edifying. We pray in the name of our Savior.
Amen.